Tom from Nashville wonders, what happened to the Vanderbilt baseball traditions of organized stretching routines, all the fielders sprinting onto the field at the same time, and the third out ball spikes? They're relatively recent in development, but I hope that they would stick around.
Well, the first thing is we still stretch in left field or right field, depending which dugout we're in. The second thing is, because of the rule change in pace of play with the NCAA, we have to get out there as quickly as possible, so we can't wait anymore, because the umpires have determined that that slows the game up, even though I don't really think that's the case. In spiking the ball, that's just an individual thing. Some people do it. Some of the kids don't. Just depends on the kid.
Barry from Fairview, North Carolina asks, what are the most important focuses and considerations for a baseball player who is facing rehabilitation from a baseball-related injury?
Well, it's a difficult one, because you get taken out of the, feel like you're taken out of the team in some ways, because you're no longer practicing and so on. So your focus then becomes personal health and trying to rehab. You spend more time with a trainer, spend more time in the weight room, depending on the injury, and you spend more time on individual work rather than team play during practice. So it's a tough situation to go through. Andrew Harris is going through that this year with a back injury, and it's somewhat tough, but we try to include them as much as possible during practice.
Robert from Bellevue writes about the SEC tournament and brings up the Big 12 format and wondered what you thought of the round robin, 3 games and 14 brackets. His reasoning, he likes the Big 12 format because every team gets to play at least 3 games. No team gets worn down playing 5 or 6 games as they do in the SEC tournament. Big 12 also makes traveling easier for the fans because the game times are, the first 3 games are predetermined.
You know, I do like it and I don't like it. I do like it because you are guaranteed 3 games. And the other thing is, it does make it easier on the fans. Why I don't like it is because in order to win that tournament, sometimes you have to hope that someone else loses or wins in order for you to keep going, and I don't like that. I do like a tournament in which you decide your own fate. So there's positives and negatives to that particular tournament.
Greg from New York asks, Coach, can you talk a little about the roster restrictions that went into place in the new NCAA rules this year and how that has impacted roster management and recruiting class sizes? How do you counter draft uncertainty?
Well, it's very difficult. The new rule is the 35-man roster. It's very difficult to maintain because you do have draft issues, both high school and on your own team. So you're really not sure who's going to come back and who will come back. But it does make it tough because as far as recruiting ahead of time, you don't know what type of money you're going to have to spend, which kind of affects your decision-making process for the next year and 2 years ahead of time. I think it's a tough rule, but we've got to live by it.
He also has another question asking about red shirts and among the players who haven't yet to make an appearance. Could we expect any red shirts this year?
Yeah, we could expect some red shirts, but that's still to be determined. And the reason it's to be determined is because of injuries and the possibility of some young kids who haven't pitched yet or played yet still getting that opportunity. We never go into a season thinking that someone's going to redshirt. It usually is the player himself who says, listen, I do want a redshirt because I see where I'm not going to get a chance to play. If that's the case, then we'll make that decision. But we've talked about it with several kids, but we haven't mandated a time right yet. So that's kind of still in waiting.
Question from Hopkinsville asking about lineup changes once you go into conference play. How do you deal with the mindset of guys whose playing time is less now once they enter conference play?
It's just part of it. I think it's just a constant communication deal where you communicate with the kids, let them know where they stand, and that's an everyday process, really. But I think at this point we've played a very consistent lineup, and even with the injuries that we have. So I would say it's going to stay that way But we always are looking to get some young guys some time and give them a chance too if we don't feel like guys in the lineup or guys on the mound are doing what we need for them to do in order for us to be successful.
Bob from Nashville asks about Aaron Westlake and then redshirting last year. Does that count against the 3 years he must be in school before he can turn pro, or do you have him for this year and 2 more years minimum?
Well, he was a medical redshirt, so from an eligibility standpoint, he still has 4 more years. So if he wanted to be here a total of 5 years, which would be the case if he stayed, then he could. But he does become draft eligible next year.
Steve from Huntsville. Coach, what did you feel you learned about or you didn't learn about this team in the pre-conference games, non-conference games?
Well, it's still early. I mean, I think a lot of times with the non-conference games, you don't know what you're playing against in terms of are they good, are they a mid-road team, and so on. I mean, we played Stanford in California, and I know that is good competition, but you really don't know how good they're going to be. So there's still a lot to be decided. With this particular team, we've offensively maybe hit better than I thought we would, and I think we've pitched like I thought we would pitch. My main goal with the first 14 games was just trying to get the new kids who I thought would play every day as much playing time as possible to get them to be comfortable. But there's still a lot of identity that will take place here. You know, we're not even a fifth of the way through. So there's a lot of identity issues that are going to take place.
Clara, age 11, from Franklin, asks, why do you wear number 4?
There's really no reason. I don't really have any reason for doing it. It's just a number that was left out from the first year I was here, and I've continued to wear it. But numbers really don't mean much to me. I don't have any hang-ups about wearing anything. I think I wore 21 at Presbyterian and number 3 at Clemson, so 4 just happened to be that number. I could lie to her and tell her my favorite athlete of all time was Bobby Orr, number 4, but that's not the case.
All right, Teddy, from final question here from Fayetteville, Tennessee. What is the return date for Giobe? When is he expected to be back in the lineup?
Love to have him back for Auburn, but that may be pushing it. But I would think the series after that, I would say the first week in April, he would be ready to play full go. And that would be to hit and catch.
All right, thanks, Coach.